amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. To Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife, my sister-in-law. Amen. To all the saints and friends. Jesus Christ, how could I forget him? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. And all the saints and friends here. Amen. Here local, here in America, and in the world today. Amen. I say praise the Lord and welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. You know, this is really unique. This has been, for everybody, this has been an interesting year. That's how I will put it, to say the least. But it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be here, to be in the right mind, to know who Jesus is, for Jesus to be your Lord, you know, and it's just a beautiful thing. Amen. Whatever you're going through, amen. You keep listening, amen, and you will just go through it. It won't live with you. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless your holy, righteous name. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this month. We thank you for this year. We thank you, Lord, that us being here today, that lets us know that where we have to go, we can make it. Because we are here because you brought us through. We thank you, Lord, all year, Lord. We thank you that you blessed and protected us all year. And we know that, amen, that you have set forth, amen, protection for us as we go forward, but even greater blessings, Lord. We thank you that greater days are coming, more blessed days are coming. Amen. And we look forward to it. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and every one here. That you would bless us with the spirit of your wisdom, your intelligence, Lord, your understanding of your word. Bless, amen, us to know Jesus, amen, more so in the power of his resurrection. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance that you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Father God, we ask that you strengthen us with might in our inner man, Lord. Touch the heart of the bereaved, because you're the only one that can heal the brokenhearted, Lord. Bless us with the knowledge of your will, and give us the spiritual wisdom and courage to carry it out, so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. And bless us, God, to grow in the knowledge of you. Bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people, Lord. I want it to be all of you and none of me, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, the topic of my message today is praise for power. You know, and I know with all the challenges that we've gone through, you know, this is the time when it really counts to praise God. But this is how you get through times like these. That's why God gave it to us. You know, it's really something that, you know, most people, it's sad. For a lot of people, in a lot of churches, this is another area that is neglected and not understood, because it is one of the most powerful aspects of being a Christian. It is not a religious ritual. You know, I've said, and I will repeatedly say, if you approach this religiously, you will get religion back. That's the difference between religious and righteousness. Righteousness is we are allowing ourselves to be molded and shaped in the image that God wants us to be molded in. We're not trying to be a bunch of goody-do-two-shoes. Our goal is to be made and molded, shaped and molded the way God wants us, because this isn't an eternal adventure. Eternity starts now. It started when you came out of your mother's womb. Actually, it started in the heart of God. You know, one of the critical issues that and I know a lot of them have not sadly read the entire Bible, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, I want to read that because I want you to get the revelation. You know, people debate the issue. Christians, you know, I understand the world debating the issue of abortion. But this is just one of the places. I'm not teaching on this, but this is one of the places. This jumped out at me the first time I read it. I knew what it meant. Amen. And I'm talking about, you know, going back in my infancy as a Christian. Verse Jeremiah 1:4 said, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You know, everybody has an appointment. You know, one way or another, we have been here. We're not here by accident. You come from the heart of God. People have, there's this mystery of where do we come from? You come from the heart of God. There's no other place for you to come from. He is life. You know, that's what the songwriter said. You are life and you are love. Amen. It's no other place, but and it's with intent and purpose. And it's sad that we, in our age, still come here in somewhat in darkness. You know, some of us got it. We got a little better, and it's gotten very much a whole lot better. You know, remember, I don't get an A in English, okay? But there is this reality. We are here. And you're not here, as I said earlier in one of my other teachings, you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. And it's incumbent upon us to seek God about that purpose. Now, what that is, I don't know. Some people were born to be the president of the United States. You know, some of us were not. Some of us might have been born to be a politician and just didn't want to get into politics for the same reason people don't want to go to church, you know. But at the end of the day, we had to ask God about it because God give you an appointment, that don't mean you're going to be happy at it. Okay, you had to bring your emotions into subject to that. You know, I heard recently, you know, I frequently talk about that this life is about submission. And I heard a man of God, amen, my pastor to be specific, that it's not submission unless you disagree with it. Because, see, it's agreement if you agree, but it's submission when you have to make yourself come into agreement with it and perform that which God has given you to do. And God is, because God is, remember, we're talking about the totalness of man. He's always focused on the totalness, not just us being here now and alive. Because most people's attitude, reason why they, even at the leadership level, they so focused on religion that they never really took time to ask God, what is this about, why? And it's identified in the Bible. I tell you, we were created. It tells you in Revelation 26. One, that's one aspect, that we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And for some people, they think that means you get to boss some people around. No, you get to treat them the way Christ treat us. And that means you're going to have to deal with some folk just like us now. Okay? You're going to be like him. He is now. Okay? But you're going to have to deal with people, you know, during the millennial reign, you may have to deal with a Trump. You know, I didn't mean to call his name, but you may have to deal with him. That's all. This is with purpose. This is what you see in the Bible. You see what happens in the way that people deal with the various challenges of humans in their lifespan. Particularly one of the classic cases is Daniel. Okay, see, it's as though people hope democracy will prevent them from having to need God. Let me tell you, democracy creates a greater need for God. Okay, it just ain't no getting around that. It comes with the territory. Because unless God changes it, in the beginning of the year or next week, I'll begin with the fruit of the Spirit. And that's in Galatians 5:22. So you can prep yourself, because all of those fruits listed in there are to give you the benefit, or give you guidance, or tell you, basically telling you to take the challenge in a negative situation. You know, love is for dealing with haters. Okay, peace is for disruptive situation. Joy is for sad situations. See, long suffering is not only patient, but patience under pressure, and being happy about it, because it's realizing the authority we have, and this is why it's incumbent for us to learn all the tools that are available, particularly prayer and today praise. You know, go with me to Psalm 150. You know, it's amazing that I went to I'm not going to call the name, a particular denomination. And, you know, that's how you learn. I don't like just word of mouth. I don't like what somebody told me. I like to know for myself. And anyway, I went. And for the most part, you know, I realize everybody had they had their ways of doing things. So, you know, typically when you start off service in a church setting, you open the door with prayer, and then you praise God. Amen. And anyway, you know, it wasn't unusual. I mean, I'm not talking about an organization that just started a couple of years ago. I'm talking about something that's been around almost over 100 years, I believe. Now, yeah, over 100 years. So, but, you know, and they play a little music on a recorded music, and there's no musicians, and it's not real exciting, so to speak. There's no energy really poured into it, and then you would probably get looked at negatively if you did put out too much energy. And the deep part about that, now every Bible has this psalm in it, and how you could discard that as just emotion is really beyond me. But it also tells me where they're not personally, particularly the leadership, spending time with God, because at the end of the day, on any issue, you want God's opinion. This is not something that man made up, okay? There's a connection with this, and it's about appreciation, you know? We're going to see, and it says, praise the Lord. Now, in some Bibles, it says, praise Jehovah, because it's got, remember I told you, whenever you see Lord in all capital letters, you know, L-O-R-D in all capital, that's talking about Jehovah. But it's a name that is so reverenced by Israelis and Jews that they won't pronounce it. You'll never get them to say that. You can put a gun to their head and they will not say that name. They reverence it so. They know how it came about. They know where it came. They understand. I'm not going to get into that, but, if, you know, it's okay. But anyway, let's read what it says. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Pray, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't think it can get any clearer than that. And I mean, the word praise is in the Bible 340 times. stamps. I mean, come on now. It's, that kind of gives me the idea that God likes praise, and he deserves it. Where's my other scripture? Let's go to Psalm 139:14. Because I'm going to give you a why, you know. I mean, we could think, I could think somewhere. The fact that you are hearing my voice, and for some of you that will eventually may even see my face on the video, to be able to see. There are people that have never been able to see. There are people that have never been able to hear, okay? And you can. There are people that haven't been able to walk. There are people that can't talk. There are people, you can think, there's a list of kinks that people can't do that you can. Gives you good reason to praise God. The fact that you have a mind to know. I have dealt with people that had a mind at one time, don't have it now, and without a miracle from God, they will never get it back. I'm telling you, it's incredible. And it happened. Somebody ate something. Imagine you go to a restaurant and you don't know, just a simple clash of chemicals in your body at that one point in time, the right combination that you had no idea that existed within your DNA mix up caused you to lose your mind. I mean, this is a fact. I know this for a fact. I mean, we had custody of a guy that happened to, and it really, because people don't know, they assumed it was drugs. When they ran his blood test, it wasn't no narcotics, see? So you don't know. It could happen with a tight, it's really, you don't know. And then people sit down all the time and eat and don't even pray. That's why they're worried about, I can tell you, everybody worried about this. This is another issue. I'm going to say this right now, because I've been there. If you knew, you need to check out my series on why prayer fails. The authority of a believer. The number one criteria is not being in Christ. And it surprised me that so many Christians that I know are afraid of this shot. And yet they didn't got shots all the days of their life. Why this one? Okay. This ain't the first thing that's been killing people. People take radiation. They take radiation to fight cancer. But you wouldn't go and let them bomb you the same radiation. It's not a different, it's just a smaller amount, but it's radiation. Your body wouldn't, and if you trust that, you might, really. But see, these are the reasons, because we don't just have to worry. We don't have to be concerned. See, I already know when it's come time for me to take the shot, I'm going to pray over it. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray over all the substance that the doctor has. So that everybody after me, if anybody before me didn't pray, everybody after me, that substance is going to be clean. But it's these are the things about, this is what it is about knowing the promises of God, knowing the word of God, knowing what you can and cannot do. There's tremendous power. There's tremendous power in this. Okay? So, like I say, did I read the scripture? No, I did not. All right, let's read this. Psalm 139:14. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. See, listen, training day, okay? 1 John 3:20, okay? Although it does not yet appear when we see him, we shall be as he is. You know, I mean, I've talked with somebody that has a little bit more understanding. See, when I talk to engineers and people that's familiar with modern molecular technology and science and different things below, they get it when I talk about the fact of when Jesus walked through the wall to visit the disciples, that there was a just like when you eat food, there is a transition going on. Even though you don't stop and say, well, let me see, I'm chewing a piece of meat and I'm going to chew it 65 times and I'm going to swallow it and I'm going to add so many ounces of saliva with it, and then I'm going to use the musculars in my throat, and then I'm going to push it on down into my stomach into X amount of acid. You don't do all those details. You autonomically do it at the same time. Talk about multitasking. You live in a multitask. Your heart is beating. You're not pushing on your chest to make your heart beat. And if you think it, see, I know that it can malfunction without us, but that's because we create problems with the system, so to speak, by what we eat. You know, we throw them foul chemicals in there that shouldn't be in there. But you really have to understand that you got to see the God, small g, the God man at work by eating food, okay? This is something you really have to realize how powerful that is. Excuse me, right? Technical difficulties here. You really have to pay attention to the magnitude of that. Something as simple as eating food. When we eat food, like I said, we do a chemical analysis. It goes to your, I mean, think about it. You got 200, I was looking it up because I said I was going to do that. You got 200 different types of cells, primary cells, in your entire body. 200 different types of cells. And you're in full control of them at all time. They go where you go. They do what you say. You open and close your hand and do what you so. There's a signal being transmitted. It ain't the muscle just moving them. It's a signal being transmitted for you to move the muscle. Got a command, got to come from your spirit, go to your brain, go through your system. And it's just that when you talk about fearfully and wonderfully made, okay, and we're barely beginning to understand who we are, the full revelation won't come till we lead the body. Then God can expose us to even more about who we are, what we are. Because this is awesome. This is awesome. I'm telling you. And to be let in on the revelation of Jesus Christ is even greater. See, this is the deal. Okay, you were born. Okay, you were going to be born. And you were going to be an individual. God knew all that. And when you go back to the beginning, you see that went awry, didn't take long. I don't know how long it took, how old Adam was before he got off track. Well, you know, he came after Eve. But it happened. And so everybody from that point on was, as we say, born in sin. Okay, you born in trouble. That's just the way it is. But God plan in place. You know, just for people that again, I'm new because I meet new people all the time. And the question was asked, oh, what about the people that was born before Jesus? Well, if you go in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, you will find a conversation going on between two dead people. One was dead, I think, about 1,500 years, and the other was dead about 1,000 years. But they had to have a conversation. Two people never met each other fully recognized who each other are, but they separated. There was one part that was destined for hell permanently and the other destined for heaven. Okay. And you got that conversation going on with them. So everybody that was innocent, even those killed in the flood, from the time of Adam, everybody that God deemed innocent went to it was Hades, but it was separated. It was a paradise part and a non-paradise part. one part, if you can tell, the man was, you know, he'd been waiting for 3,500 years for some water. He hasn't gotten it yet, and he's not going to get it, and life gets worse. This is the impact that you got to get with this, because that man's life, okay, his situation was the result of how he handled God's substance. See, because when you die, you don't leave it. You won't see a U-Haul at a funeral where people take what belongs to them. So don't get caught up in that stuff. It belongs to God. And you need, and if you don't ask God how to handle it, what he wants you to do with it, how he wants you to use it, how much of it actually you can use on you, and what he expects you to give and the benefit of others, if you don't do that, that's between you and him. But you want to do that. Because some things you ain't going to justify. That man was a good man, I think. And you probably had a big funeral, and people had a lot of good things to say. And he probably did some good. You know, but people get these attitudes. We see, this life, I don't get to pick and choose, really, everything I want to do. You know, I had trouble with when I've seen these guys. I've never seen so many people standing around begging before. This is new. I came through a time period like now in the 70s. You know, everybody was the same thing. We had high unemployment. You know, I remember standing out in the cold. And we had to stand out in the cold waiting to get that little unemployment check. And they didn't care how long you stood out there in the cold, and you did it, you know. And then when that ran out, you went and found whatever 3-4 jobs you needed to survive. You know, I've never been homeless, you know, and I've never been homeless, and I never complained to God about it. When me, and that's why I love my wife so, when we had to live in a little one-room apartment, she didn't complain, treated me like I was a king. That's why she can have what she wants. See, that's when you find out what you're married to. When the pressure come on, see, treating me like a king. See, it takes something. See, that's what all this is about. Because it tells God what you are going to do, what you would do during the millennial reign when you got full power. Because trust me, see, we look too narrowly at this. We see these little phrases in the Bible and we think of them as cliches. But we're talking something tremendous here, saints. We are really talking something tremendous, and we are so close. And I tell you, I hear men of God that I know, I would say they are like my brother, here and now preachers. They weren't worried about or never really focused on the last days and prophecies and what's going to come. They're focused on living. I'm going to help you live now, okay? I'm going to help you learn how to pray now, help you learn how to contact God yourself so you don't have to be calling me all the time. See, and that's what it's supposed to be. But now I'm hearing across the board, I could name some names of men that would almost frown at folk talking about. I've been saved 45 years, and I've been here in the last days for 45 years. Let me tell you, the last days begin the day Jesus came out the womb, okay? That we can say, we are now in the end of days. You're not going to be looking at a long time. I'm not talking about, I don't really think I'm going to get to see 80 down here, but I won't be disappointed, because believe me, I went roller skating the other night, and I could tell I was 69. And I hadn't been skating because of this corona. I wish I'd get my hands on him. I'd smack him. You better not show up here. I'd beat him down like a dog. But anyway, okay, now, we're talking about praise, okay? Let's go in how to do this. Let's go to Ephesians, one of my favorite scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, and it's just that praising God. I mean, we got a lot of praises written out for us, because you're not really going to come up with something that isn't. If you read the entirety of Psalms, okay. And you're not going to find a praise that you come up with that haven't been written already. Because those, I believe, were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to, like I say, but because you don't have it, you might find a new way to arrange it. That's what we do with music today. A lot of the music we hear today, you know, some of the songs we hear, and I know some folk, they have trouble adjusting that. I remember I take it back with Hawkins. Anyway, when the Hawkins family came on the scene with old Happy Days back in the 50s, people was calling it the devil. And then you probably heard that song. If you ain't, get to go to YouTube or whatever and just dial up Oh Happy Days. And they really was upset with that song. It was too fast. See, this is what I was talking about. You know, you're talking about praising God. And you read in the book of Revelation, and we're gonna touch a little bit about that if I get to moving on. Anyway, here's Paul. Okay, he's talking to a couple. Remember, there's a culture change that always come about when people get saved. You go from one life to another. So here Paul is talking to the Ephesians. And I mean, listen, let me tell you about drinking and not smoking big time. Human nature, when you go through trauma, you know, I lack for the terms right now, but it's traumatizing. And we have, just like we have different physical pain levels, we have different mental pain levels. So and remember, the Bible, God, the Word of God, has stripped us of the power of criticism. Jesus said, "Judge not." Galatians, and Paul talked to the Galatians there. He said, "Brothers taken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore him, lest you also." Because, you know, life is going, you're going to experience trauma and challenge, okay? So it isn't, look at how Paul dealt with this, though. He's telling them, verse 17, he said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." That's a nice word for stupid. So if you want to call somebody stupid, call them unwise, because you're either wise or you're not. But understanding what the will of the Lord is, and the will, God's word is his will. I remember they back then didn't have a Bible. They didn't have, like, I got on my phone, I got Bibles and commentaries about Bibles in Hebrew and English, and I mean Hebrew and Greek, the original writings of the Bible and the definition of each Hebrew and Greek word. They didn't have none of that, because this is just now happening. It's hot off the press. See, so God gave them some leeway. Somewhere in the Bible it says he winked at their sin, because they were playing out. See, again, this is a reason to praise God. We got it going on. He says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Then he goes into how. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? That's a part you need to study, the whole chapter. Study the whole book of Ephesians. Read it. Study it. But anyway, all right. So Paul is making an analysis. I mean, you got to look at what's going on in the history back then. You got wars going on, and one of the classic cases I think was Noah. You know, I noticed that they people give Noah a break because they know that was traumatic. Imagine after the flood, after everything was over, now comes the rush of all that he has had to experience. He's had to leave behind he didn't just move out of town. All his previous families, generations, children, dead, flooded, died, drowned. That'll make you want to get high. That'll make you want to drink. And right now, look at this year. I have lost this year. I don't really want to say lost. Most of the people I know were saved, sad, but they I call them early arrivals. Over 50 people this year. I know somebody went to Vietnam and they didn't see 50 people die. They was right in the hotbed of the war. and they did not see 50 people die the whole time they toured the war in the midst of fighting every day. 50 people. That's traumatizing. That's traumatizing. I'm going to tell you, men, God gave us tear glands for a reason. Oh, and you're not being weak. I came up doing, I called the John Wayne era, where they really almost tried to teach you not to cry. Cry. God said if he had tears, he would cry rivers for his people Israel. And if God would do it, Jesus wept. Look it up. It said, just look up Jesus wept. Jesus wept. They don't come no stronger than them two. Okay? This is traumatic. Make no mistake about it. You're not weak if you cry. I really think you're weak if you don't. You know? And it's, at some point, it's going to come on you. Let it flow. You know? It's something. So, but here, don't wallow in it. Don't, this ain't a hopeless situation. Paul said to the Corinthian church, another group, he said, if we sorrowed as most men sorrow, we would be like most men in without hope. We don't have hope. We're not without hope. We know where this is going. This is a phase for us. And I've been expecting it. And I hate to tell you this, I really don't want to tell you this, but it is going to get worse for some people. This is what we're trying to teach y'all. Pump it up. Get it up. Get closer to God. Listen. I know we wanted to go back to the former norm. That ain't happening. Some things is. But what you want to be able to is to withstand through this, all the way through it, because we are approaching the next major event on God's calendar is the rapture. See, Satan is going to push people. I'm watching people, and it's traumatic. Struggling with, there wasn't. You know what? This is deep. Even the atheists want to know. They atheists. But they want to know why God ain't stopped this. Because it's scary. Because they're experiencing the same thing. Now, what they say, the rubber hits the road. See? it's amazing. But he has given us power and authority over it. It is time to put that to work. You know, I have a phrase that I use on Facebook and Twitter, and that is, welcome to training day, final exam. God has given us all the training and all the he's given us all this data and information. We've got the word broke down. We got YouTube. I've even got videos on YouTube. I've been listening to videos that are 100 years old, you know. But what triggered training day? Watchman Nee. From 1900 to 1940, and that really, I didn't know he was then telling us to really, the reason we need to bring our lives into subjection to the Word of God is that it is to prepare us for the eternity with God. We really don't look at, and hadn't looked at, I hadn't really looked at the depth of how much power. When it says we're going to be like Jesus, that dude, we already know he walked on water, but did we ever think about it? He wasn't just floating in the air. He was commanding the environment. Just like you eat. You don't just sit and talk. Like I said, you don't sit and go through a whole thing. He didn't sit and he wasn't walking and telling the water what to do, what not to do, and the air what to do and what not to do, and gravity what not to do. He just walked. See, we hear faith and we think religiously. The point of that, of faith, is to teach us about God. See, and like I said, for us to have a revelation. But now, the main thing that I want you to get here is how to get through this challenging time. You know, before I pray, my first prayer every day in the morning, you know, anytime early in the morning, you know, like Jesus used to pray early in the morning, sometimes at 2 o'clock, sometimes at 3, 4, 5, whatever. But I never just get up and start praying. I have a list of about 20 songs that I've memorized for the most part, and I have them printed out so when I don't remember them, and I ask Holy Spirit to give me the melody, and I always praise him for at least 10 minutes. I'm telling you, if you praise God, I'm going to tell you, if you praise God every day for 5 minutes, it will change your life. Let me tell you, let's go back to what Paul was saying here. He said, be filled with the Spirit. He is not talking about an emotion. He specifically used a capital S. And he's talking about this will enhance your thinking capability. This will, the Spirit of God, which is smarter than you, it was like they say we use 15% of your mind, he'll up the percentage as needed. You might take it to another level. You know, this is how people are able to do things that they couldn't do under normal circumstances. See, this is how you overcome challenges. I utilize this in different areas, okay? This is how you get revelation of the word. See, if you praise God, this is why I say frequently, don't read the Bible without praying. And I'm going to tell you, don't go a day without praying. Take some time, listen. Listen, I would never get a recording contract for singing, okay? But that's not my call. And I just some people, this in them. They can sing. It's in their nature. That's in part of their DNA. I'm a teacher. That's what I do, okay? But when I sing, God hears. You think of whoever it is, I'm just lost words right now. He hears at that level. He hears at the spiritual level. He hears your songs from your heart, not from what comes out of your lips, okay? Even though you may sing, he hears the purity of your song. And that right there, and then there's the exchange. Look what Paul said. He let on something. He said, if you praise God, he'll fill your spirit. Praise God, he'll fill your spirit. If you go back and read on the day of the Pentecost in the book of Acts, and they said it was all on one accord, I'm willing to say that they was in there praising God. How do you get people, a group of people on one accord? See, they're sharing praises of God. I mean, you verbally praise God, verbally. Now, see, and this is where when they say making melodies in your heart, that's making, the heart is your spirit. The heart is your spirit. Your spirit is your heart. That's in the depths of you, okay? That's in the depths of you. That is not saying doing it silently. That's only if you're in the doctor's office, which, you know, that ain't really a good time to be doing it. I mean, when I'm up, most of the time my wife is asleep, see. I'm up, and I had to confess I was guilty because I acknowledged I caught myself once. I had this. Let me tell you something. You get to praising God, and y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You at home and you just forget, like they say, praise like nobody's watching, like you do when you at church. He will show up. You will tell. That's not your emotion. I'm telling you, he'll show up, and you will feel his presence, and the joy becomes so intense and so immense. One time it was so intense, I told him, I'm like, Lord, okay, you're going to have to back off. You're going to make me break. It was that intense. It was that intense. But that you will never remember this. Whenever you praise God at church, at home, in your car, and you really draw his presence, if his presence manifests, he has left something in you. You have to pray that out. You have to study that out. You have to meditate that out. God never does anything for nothing. There's a reward. That's a reward. See, you may have an exam coming up, and he'll put the answers in there. You may be, your company may be in need of a new product. He put the answers in there. You trying to figure out how to deal with your children. He'll put the answer in there. Whatever it is you need. Because, see, you know, let me tell you something about marriage. We've been married 40 years, and my wife's still secretive, okay? You know, I should not. You'd like to think after 40 years, if you say, what's the matter with you, she'd say exactly what's the matter with her. That ain't happened. You're like, okay, so I had to go ask God. You know, and then sometimes it don't be nothing deep. Sometimes it be something simple. Listen, remember the word adult is not in the Bible, okay? It's not in the Bible, okay? Sometimes, men, let me tell you, do you ever wonder, men, why Kroger sells flowers for $10, for $5 roses? Listen, your wife ain't going to be tripping because you didn't pay $50 for them. She know where you work at. She know how much money you don't have, okay? It's the thought. They are very thoughtful conscious. Man, I better not. If I 40 years and I still had to tell my wife how good her food is, you think the fact that I wipe it out in seconds that you would know. No, it don't work that way, okay? It is what it is. But God will give you revelation. And this is a biggie. This is a biggie, guys. You want something from God? Make sure you're taking care of his daughter. Bless his daughter. You will get the desires of your heart. I'm telling you. You know, the most. I ain't going to even get into that, but you got to teach your daughter right. All right? So, I want to read something. This is deep. It's amazing. Every time I start this, I'll be thinking I don't have enough to say, and then God is. Show us something. I want to go to 1 Peter, one of my favorite scriptures, as you may know, because I'm watching right now in the world, and I'm totally convinced that this situation that's going on in the world is supposed to be addressed by one group of people, also known as the royal priesthood, the holy priesthood. They have the power. I mean, look at what's happening. I told somebody, I even posted on Facebook, don't think because they got a vaccine that this is over. And what happened, this thing, it then kicked up into gear. Now it's spreading faster. Notice, though, people are not dying as frequent. See? So don't let the devil tell you prayer ain't working. People are not as spreading. People are getting healed more before they even get a vaccine. Okay? That's what this is about. Final exam. Use what you know. And if you don't know nothing, you better learn something. See? But anyway, where we at? 1 Peter. All right? And you know, you have to look into. It says, ye also, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Two primary areas on that. One, but when we're talking about spiritual, we're talking about the realm of God. Okay? We're not talking about something spooky, you know. We're talking about the realm of God. In other words, when you pray, you know, I was listening to a teacher, and he was talking about he found Eden. And he said, where you meet God at, that's Eden. So, you know, you're taking a trip, going over to Iraq, where some people think it is, or wherever you find the middle of the locations of the four rivers in the book of Genesis. Eden is where you meet God at. Okay, that's your meeting place. I really agree with that. I don't need more than that. Believe me, I've met God many times. But a spiritual sacrifice is in the realm of God. Now, a sacrifice is... It's costing you. Because, listen, a lot of times when God gives me up, I don't want to get up out of bed. But I do. I do because it's a ritual. I do because God can't answer a prayer not prayed. And in some cases, it takes more people to pray over the same situation. You know, that's another lesson. Look up corporate prayer, okay? It should be some good teaching on that, okay? A quick rundown is, traditionally or biblically, One could chase 1,000. Two, 10,000. It goes exponentially. Each person takes it to another level. Okay? So if you want to get something done that's not getting done, you need to know people that are spiritually mature, depending on the sensitivity of the situation. And you really do not have to give anybody all the details. You tell them I have a personal situation. They don't need all the details. They don't need all the details. Sometime next year, I'm gonna be talking about speaking in tongues. See, when somebody tell me something, Holy Spirit knows everything. So I can just pray, call their name, and he'll do the talking. He'll do the commanding, angelic commands. He'll conduct the warfare. He know how to do it. See, we got tools that we have to use. This is why they're in there. And we should know they from God because they don't make sense to man. They don't make sense. This don't make sense. You know, I find more Christians, it's sad, I'm finding more unbelievers coveting prayer than Christians. Christians saying, that prayer don't work. You know, I be wanting to talk about their mama or something so I can slap them. Listen, that's because it won't work on your terms. It only works on God's terms. He don't want to answer. You know, I have people telling me, that it don't take all that. I mean, there's no seven reasons for prayer to fail. Anybody can pray. No, it ain't anybody can pray. No, it ain't. If you ain't in Christ, listen, this ain't my opinion. Jesus said this to some people that thought they was right with God. He said, you are of your father the devil. I mean, you didn't intend that. You were born in sin, but that's the real. John 1:12, if it says, as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. That means anybody that haven't received him ain't God's. If you ain't received him, you didn't become a son of God. I didn't write that. I don't manage that. I'm just the messenger, okay? And it's too easy to resolve, okay? That's the situation. It's easy to resolve. But the point here, this counts, and it matters to God. This matters to God. See, listen, anybody could give money, and that matters to God, but it really matters, and that don't matter to God unless you love him and are committed to him. You don't just want money like, I ain't gonna say, you don't just want money. He got money. God ain't broke. God ain't broke. You know, he don't need the money. He need the love. He wants the love more than anything. Your praise is love to him. It's a love sonnet. Okay, like I said, my song would never be of Luther Vandross level. I mean, I ain't put that much into it. But it I know it means something to God because like I say, I've experienced his presence. Many times he showed me things that I'll never tell you. I'll tell you that. He didn't have to, and I'm not the only one. I met somebody else that said the same thing. See, so, you know, like I say, listen, we're talking about the person that don't have no birthday, and I can visit with him anytime. He ain't never too busy. I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to go through a chain of people. I can go directly to him. See, so you can't, like I said, we are the key in this. God is not watching the world. He's watching what the church does about the world. He gave us his power. He paid a tremendous power. For those of you that haven't watched The Passion of the Christ, quit being a chicken. I know y'all scared because you never heard about it, especially you men. Yes, it's going to make you cry. If you can watch The Passion of the Christ and not cry, then you really need some prayer. I saw that. When I first saw it, I was in there. And I know there was some thugs. You know, I could tell they were thugs. You know, they'd be huffing and stuff. But anyway, listen, they broke down. Because they know, people know this about Jesus. You know, and it just amazed me. People can't deny Jesus loves us. Listen, he didn't want to, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what was coming. But he said, not my will, but yours, Lord. And for all that, for all of that, and now think about it. Read your new home area in Revelation chapter 22. Imagine your life. We've soon to come into a pain-free, trouble-free life. Person on the personal level. Anyway, you know, we're going to have to deal with some of Israel people, you know. We're going to have to deal with the survivors of the tribulation, so it ain't going to be exactly totally trouble-free. It's still going to be some shaking my head moments. But you won't have to be, you won't be, you'll really be able to see it then. You'll be on Jesus' level. They'll be where you are now. And that's the, see, that's the beauty of it. You will know what they're going through, and it'll be your job to help them get developed to where you are. See how all this is working out? And all God wants is for you to thank him. Prayer of thanksgiving. That's all. He just wants you to thank him. See, he just wants you to say, I will bless the Lord forever. That's all he wants from you. That's all he wants. Now, so, but to get to that level, we have to get to the first stage. And that's where we are with this now. So, just pray this prayer with me. Lord God, I believe Jesus is your son. I believe you sent him to die for us. And I believe that I was born in sin. And I accept your offer of forgiveness. I ask forgiveness, and I accept your offer of forgiveness through the life of your son. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, that I am saved, that I am kept, and I am delivered. And I thank you that you are my God, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I thank you that I'm born again right now. See how easy that was? That right there is a great reason to praise God. Because, you know, I thought about the day that I did that, how God wiped that. That wipes out off of God's. People might have remembered what I did, but God wiped it completely off his slate that I'll never have to answer for. And when I do slip, 1 John 1:8-9, it says, if we confess our sin, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful and just, instantly, just like that. Remember that about God. Don't confuse cause and effect with whether or not God has kept his word. Okay? This is earth. This is training ground. And this is training day. And remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week. See you next year. Look for a blessed year. Don't count this, and if the world is still crazy, you look for a blessed year in your house. Okay, you look for, you praise God and declare, my house is blessed, and I walk in the blessings of God, and I'll see you next year. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, said bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like DJ Khaled, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go over and go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that posing teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.